Good morning, and thanks for tuning again, once again, to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. Though this is not the first Thursday of the year, we do begin our new study today that I had hoped to begin last week, but I wasn't fast enough, so we completed last year's study a week late. And so today we're going to begin a new study here shortly. Again, I want to remind you that Mornings for the Master is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. I am your Thursday morning host. My name is Chris McAleer, and I hope that you tune in each day where you have a different host and a different course of study. Now, Mornings for the Master is heard at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And then these programs are replayed at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section by our good brother David Sudhoff within a day or so. And so we hope that you avail yourself to this program and all of the programming here on TGRN. Now, the programs that you hear are, again, replayed 12 hours later. And then shortly after posted to the on-demand section. You're also able to every week hear the services of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ located in Mount Vernon, Texas. Now the Mount Vernon congregation is also the overseeing eldership of this network. And we are so thankful for your continued support through your listenership, through your prayers, and through your financial support. And again, we cannot adequately express our appreciation. Now, last week, as we noted, we completed our study of the book of Titus. And today, we're not going to move too far. We are just going to move over a few pages, and we're going to begin a study today of the book of 1 Timothy. And if things go according to plan and the Lord wills, we'll also study the book of 2 Timothy following this study. So today, we'll begin our look at 1 Timothy. Now, Timothy is a very personal letter from Paul to his dear son in the faith, Timothy. And as we look at chapter 1 and verse 1 today, as we begin to introduce our thoughts here, we're going to key in today on something that Paul points out to Timothy, and that is the latter part of verse 1 and the fact that Jesus Christ is our hope. Notice now, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Now, in reference here to Jesus Christ, the apostle Paul gives Jesus a name here that is very unique in the New Testament. Notice what he calls our Lord Jesus Christ. He refers to him as our hope. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. This is the only place that Jesus is described in such a manner as our hope other than in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. There it says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So not used often in the scriptures, yet the title of Jesus Christ our hope is a precious one. And we find that it was used by some of those in the early church. Some of those, such as Ignatius, referred to Jesus in this manner when he said, "Be of good cheer in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, our common hope." The early writer Polycarp said, "Let us therefore persevere in our hope and the earnest of our righteousness, who is Jesus Christ." Now, the word hope means a confident desire and expectation. And the word hope is very closely aligned with the word faith. Remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now let's consider, Paul referred to Jesus as our hope, but how is that the case? In what way does Jesus become our hope? And how does he become the basis for us to have a confident expectation? Well, one way that Jesus is our hope is the fact that Jesus is our hope and our confident expectation for the forgiveness of sins. We must understand that man has a problem with sin. All men have sin. There's no escape from that. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We also read in 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 about the foolishness of thinking that you might be without sin. 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin and we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The consequences of sin, indeed, are serious and very grave when we consider what we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, various individuals will deal with the guilt of sin in different ways. Indeed, a great many individuals just simply try to ignore the guilt of sin. Others make attempts to offset it by doing good works. And many look to those besides Christ as a savior or a teacher. Some look to the law of Moses even today as a way of removing the guilt of sin. Others turn to one such as Buddha or Muhammad, Confucius, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, and others. But we need to clearly understand that Jesus Christ is our only hope to overcome the guilt of sin. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, according to John chapter 1 and verse 29. It is only in Jesus Christ that we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of our sins, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Christians place their hope in the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement for their sins. One does this by believing in Jesus Christ and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Consider Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Also, remember Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. On the day of Pentecost, after Peter had preached the gospel message and the other apostles also, the gathered throng was moved. They were convicted. They wanted to know what to do for the sin that was upon them. And they had asked in verse 37 to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do?" And see the response of Peter in verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This point would be reiterated later in the conversion account of Saul of Tarsus, as he recounted that in Acts chapter 22 in verse 16, when Ananias had been sent to Paul and said these words. Paul, who had been blinded on the road to Damascus, he had spent 3 days there fasting and praying. He was greatly repentant for what he had done, but we find that he was still in his sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We must consider Also, the change, the fruits of repentance that must take place in our life. For remember, Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. By continuing to repent and confess the name of Jesus Christ, confessing our faults, praying for forgiveness, we can continue to be receiving forgiveness. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 22, Simon the sorcerer, who had been converted but had gone back to the ways of sin, and notice the words of Peter to him. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Remember, again, it is the blood of Christ that will continually cleanse. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The question today for us is Jesus Christ your hope for salvation from the guilt of sin? Jesus told us in John chapter 8 in verse 24 that unless you believe in him, you will die in your sins. So yes, without a doubt, Jesus Christ is our hope for the forgiveness of sin. But we must also know that Jesus Christ is our hope for reconciliation with God. Man naturally has a longing for fellowship with God. This is an innate desire that was put in man by our Creator. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. And now notice verses 26 through 28. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own posts have said, for we are also his offspring. Many seek to fulfill this longing for God, this longing for a relationship, a fellowship with the wrong things. They try to satisfy this innate desire instead with material things. But when one seeks to satisfy this longing through material or other things, the result is that it will only leave one with emptiness. Remember, the wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, where Solomon said, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Solomon had more wealth than any man had ever known, but it would not satisfy him. Abundance only leads far too often to the greed and desire for more, and it is vain. Those super wealthy desire more and more because of an emptiness. Many seek to fulfill the longing for God in the wrong way. They do it on their own or through some man or man-made religion. They seek to fulfill this desire. But as Paul pointed out, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is our only hope. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, according to John chapter 14 and verse 6. And it is only in Jesus Christ that we can really come to know God the Father. Remember when Philip questioned Jesus in John chapter 14? Let's go there to verses 7 through 9 and let us see that a relationship with the Father only comes through the Son. John 14, beginning in verse 7. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Remember, it is Jesus who has revealed the Father. Still in the book of John, go back to chapter 1 and verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. You see, it is in Jesus Christ that we are reconciled to God. Consider this reconciliation that we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verses 18 through 20. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Is Jesus Christ your hope for fellowship with God? Without Jesus, you cannot have that close relationship with God. Why is that the case? Just consider 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So friends, we can see that Jesus Christ is our hope for the forgiveness of sin, and Jesus Christ is our hope for a close relationship with God. But now let us also see that Jesus Christ is also for a hope for power in holy living. Man, since the earliest of times, has long realize the need to live a good life. Yet, even in the ancient world, man admitted their inability to do the very thing that they desired. Notice a couple of things that the early writer Seneca said. We hate our vices and love them at the same time. That's much of what Paul would point out. He also said we have not stood bravely enough by our good resolutions. Despite our will and resistance, we have lost our innocence. Nor is it only that we have acted amiss, we shall do so to the end. But as I mentioned, even the apostles would describe the difficulty of living a godly life. As we mentioned Paul, let's now notice what Paul said it was like to live under the old law without the freedom of Christ. In Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 24. I find then a law that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul would remind Christians of that conflict, that ongoing war between the flesh and the spirit. Notice what he wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, Paul was certainly not alone in this realization. For Peter also wrote of the warfare between fleshly lust and that of the soul. Consider 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Jesus Christ is our only hope. It is in Jesus Christ that we are freed from the law of sin and death. Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It is in Christ that we are freed. It is in Christ that we have the strength given to us to do that which is good, and for us to turn away from evil. It is because of the Spirit of God. Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verses 11 through 13. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It is the means by which God strengthens the inner man. Notice Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So, again, is Jesus Christ your hope for power in holiness? In Jesus Christ, there is the strength to do God's will. And that is what Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Jesus Christ is our hope for forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ is our hope for a close relationship with God. Jesus Christ is our hope to live powerfully and in a holy manner. But it's not just the spiritual things that Jesus is our hope in. For Jesus Christ is our hope for the provisions of our daily living. Man is so prone today to worry. Man will worry and fret over every possible thing. In fact, man even worries about the very necessities of life. But that is not individuals that have reflected upon what the Scriptures teach us concerning God's care for His creation. Man tends today to worry about the necessities of life by worrying about their food, about their clothing. Man should desire a basic contentment, and man should desire to have true joy and peace. And Jesus knew that this was the common thing that all men needed, that it is the most important concern. In our land, we've often heard the statement about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, our basic necessities, food and clothing, shelter. Liberty, not a physical liberty, for many Christians have been in bondage and servitude, but the liberty in Christ is the true freedom, and He offers that, the freedom which no man can take away. And the desire to be truly content, to be filled with joy and peace. See, that does not come from material things, a life of ease or comfort, but that is something that comes from a closeness with Jesus Christ, because that produces a contentment, whatever our situation. Consider what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is our only hope. Our Father God knows our need, as we noted moments ago in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. And Jesus provides to us the secret of God's care, as we noted there in Matthew 6 and verse 33. And we could also consider Mark chapter 10, verses 28 to 30. But Jesus Christ is the source for true joy and true peace in an individual's life. Notice with me Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is in Christ Jesus that one can find contentment and have the confidence, even the expectation, that God will supply our necessary needs. Notice Philippians 4 again, and verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, if you would, drop down a few verses. And let's go down there in chapter 4 to verse 19 and notice what Paul prayed. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again today, is Jesus Christ your hope for God's providential care in your life? Remember, if your trust and your hope in your own riches, you will not be able to please God. Notice what we read in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, we have seen that Jesus Christ is our hope for the forgiveness of our sins. That Jesus Christ is our hope for a close relationship with God. We have seen that Jesus Christ is our hope for the ability to live a powerful and holy life. And we have seen that Jesus Christ is our only hope, even for the daily provisions of life through the providential care of our God. But last today, we want to consider, most importantly, Jesus Christ is our hope for victory over death. The fear of death is common to mankind. Man tries to avoid death. Man will go to great lengths to delay death. Some men try to ignore death. In fact, even refusing to speak of the dead. But Jesus Christ is our only hope. Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. Notice Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This he did by his own resurrection, and continues to do through the promise of his coming again. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 through 18 concerning his coming. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So now, as we wrap things up today, we've come to understand that Jesus Christ is many things to those who love Him. But let's make sure that Jesus Christ is our hope. Have you made Jesus your hope? Consider the implication if you have not. For if you have not made Jesus Christ your hope, then, as we've noticed today, you are in your sins. For you have no hope in Him as the forgiveness of sin. You are alienated from God because you have no hope for a close relationship with God. You are unable to live a truly righteous life, for you do not have the hope in Christ of holy living. You are even without hope in this present age, for you are going through life without God's providential care. And worst of all, you have no hope for victory over death because you were unprepared for death. As the hymn says, "Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering far from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God." If your hope is not in Christ, you are not ready for the judgment which is going to come. My friend, why not let Jesus become your hope today? If we can help you in that in any way, we urge you to contact us at tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get with you and to assist you in possibly becoming a Christian or bringing back what you once had in Christ. Maybe you just need us to pray for you. Again, I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that this time together this morning has got your day going in the right direction. It has been edifying to you. You have certainly encouraged me by your presence today. I urge you to remember that this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It will be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And don't forget to stay tuned throughout the day for all of the programs here on the network. Pick you a new program out that you've not listened to in the past from the programming guide and start listening to it. There are a number of excellent teachers that are here every week, ready to join you. Remember, tomorrow on Mornings for the Master, your host will be Brother Chip Horton. And we look forward to another great lesson from Brother Chip, as he always does such a great job. Now, I encourage you to join me again next week at this same time, if the Lord wills, for the Thursday edition of Mornings for the Master, as we continue to move into our study of 1 Timothy. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long. May God bless you and have a great day.